Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Under the Fig Tree. I'm Troy.
And I'm Bruce.
And we thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to have a little bit of fun today. I think we got a really good topic. But before we get started, I did want to acknowledge some of our listeners. Bruce, we got some listeners now. We've been hitting different places throughout the world.
Yeah.
And I find it fascinating that someone would actually want to listen to us.
Yeah, me too.
You know, outside of this immediate area, but
yeah, I wouldn't cross the street to see me. And so, you know what I'm saying? It's amazing.
We're out in Greece now. We have some people listening to us in Greece.
Awesome.
In Oman.
Really?
Yes.
Hello, Oman.
Oman, hello. And United Arab Emirates.
Oh, wow.
Which I think is very, very intriguing.
That's awesome.
That even in that area, that the message of Christ is being shared.
Yeah.
And people are willing to open up and listen to what someone has to say.
Yeah, that's
about
cool,
Christ.
Man.
So,
well, we welcome all of you.
Welcome all of our listeners.
Under the Fig Tree.
Yes. Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family.
So we got a good topic, like I said. Bruce, you want to introduce the topic?
We're calling this episode Managing Relationships. Managing Relationships. And we're just going to talk, you know, you guys that listen to us fairly regularly, you know that we try to keep it real simple, real practical, but biblical. And so we're just going to talk it out a little bit, and hopefully some of the things that we share and talk about will be helpful to who are tuning in. So you want to start out with our scripture?
Yeah, in John chapter 2, so the wedding at Cana happens. Then after that, there's a cleansing of the temple. Mm-hmm. There's a good teaching about the cleansing of the temple.
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably have to talk about some other time, because the chronological order of it in John doesn't really line up with the chronological order in Matthew.
Right.
But there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
But either way, that's a different topic.
Okay.
Yeah, different topic.
Okay.
You guys be ready for that. It'll be fun. But either way, this is after the cleansing of the temple. And I'm going to start in verse 23, John 2, verse 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. Verse 24, this is the heart of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus did not commit himself to them. And we say them, you're talking about the people around that were
right,
basically applauding him for everything that he was doing, and they were marveling at him.
Right.
But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men.
Yes.
And had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great place to start when we start looking at relationship management.
Yeah.
One thing is to look at how Jesus managed his relationships.
Oh, it's the best place to start. It's the best place to go, man. There's another scripture that comes to mind where Jesus has 12 disciples.
Yeah.
But he only takes three.
Oh, yeah.
With him to what we know, what is commonly called the Mount of Transfiguration.
Mount Tabor, I believe it is.
Yeah. I always think about the other nine.
Yeah.
What? You know, because you could almost hear, well, why they get to go? And we don't get to go? What makes Peter, James, and John so special? Because you know brothers, right?
Oh, yeah.
Brothers. That's what brothers and sisters do, right?
Correct.
It seems like dad is favoring one, or mom is favoring one more than the other. So I look at it from that perspective as well, right?
But, yeah.
But, man, there's so much there. There's so much to be learned there about managing relationships. Sometimes it's necessary to not allow access to people for certain things
mm-hmm.
in order to help them, not to hurt them.
Sure.
But of course, if you're denied access, you automatically take it personal and think that it's some form of punishment. When I know for sure that God denying access, or Jesus denying access in some circumstances, was simply to protect them, mm-hmm. not to hurt them. And I think that's a really good practical thing for us to talk about and to consider. You know what I'm saying? Why would he say, no, I'm only taking you three?
Right.
I'm only giving you three this particular experience.
Look, I know when he came down from that experience, they I think it was Peter, wanted to build
Yeah.
Three different tabernacles. And Jesus is like, hey, look, chill out, man. Calm down.
Just calm down.
Look, don't tell nobody.
Don't tell anyone. Now imagine if he had taken all 12 up there.
Yeah.
Oh, man, they would have built a whole city called Transfiguration. Yeah. And you know, there would have been a city called Transfiguration.
It would have been.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, look, don't tell nobody. And then they go down the mountain and say, hey, we just saw Elijah.
Boy, let me tell you what we just saw. Moses. And yeah.
Jesus was talking to him.
Yeah. So, but see, that's another point, though. The fact that he had to give an instruction might very well have been one of the reasons that he couldn't take everybody.
I would be inclined to agree.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because even Peter struggled a little bit. I bet he was itching because he wanted to build tabernacles. You know? So that very well could be part of it, right?
Yeah.
You know, I remember the Lord telling me something years ago, man, and telling me, don't tell anybody yet.
Yeah.
He said, don't tell anybody yet. I got so excited that I was hearing from God, man. Before I knew it, I had spilled the beans. I spilled the beans. Oh, my goodness. It was. And then when the thing came to pass, it came to pass. And I know he made sure it came to pass just slightly different.
Yeah.
Than how I told everybody.
Yeah.
But it was close enough that everybody knew, oh, that's it. But the timing was completely off. That's how I learned about timing, prophetic prophets and timing and how so many prophets actually see and hear correctly, but they just don't seem to stay around long enough to get the timing. But that's for another day, too.
Is that one of those times where you, like, I know you told me not to tell anybody. I didn't tell just anybody. I told everybody.
Does that can I get through with that? Jesus. He's like, no.
No, we ain't gonna let you pass on that.
But yeah, man, just managing relationships. I think about that scripture where he only took those three. I even think about when he's on the cross.
Sure.
And he commits his physical mom, his human mom. I don't know what else she would be. I don't know why I said human. But anyway, he commits his mom to the one disciple.
Well, and that's a picture. I think at the end of his natural life.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He's saying, look, this whole time I've been trying to tell you, you are my brother.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And since you are my brother, behold your mother.
Yep.
Right? So I've been trying to tell you, this is how close I want us to be.
Yes.
And I can trust nobody else to some degree.
Right.
And I'll use you, John.
Yeah.
And John is, I love John because if John didn't know anything else, he knew Jesus loved him.
He knew Jesus loved him.
Right. The one that Jesus, I'm the one that Jesus
he
loved.
He said that about himself.
About himself.
And drew all kind of trouble because of it, but he didn't care.
He didn't care.
I am the one that Jesus loves.
I am the one that Jesus loved. And then Jesus says, hey, look, man, this is what I've been trying to show you the whole time.
Yeah.
This is your mother.
Yeah.
This is the family that we wanted to build. So there's another place. And this is going to get good. Okay? This is going to get good. Relationship management, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's different levels of relationship. You have your friends, right?
Right.
You have a level of relationship with coworkers.
Yeah.
You have your acquaintances.
Mm-hmm.
You have your family.
Okay.
Okay. I believe that's kind of, I would say those four levels would probably be all inclusive. There's probably a couple of other nuances and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you have those four levels, right? And I think management of each one of those levels is going to be significantly different.
Right.
You're not going to treat your acquaintances, obviously, like you do your family.
Sure.
And vice versa. So what we have to do is find out the best way to navigate through those relationships. So I'll say this, and I say this with a lot of our new believers. Do you want a relationship with God? Oh, yes, I want a relationship with God. Okay, now I need you to understand there's a difference between having a relationship with God and having a good relationship with God.
Yeah.
It's a difference.
Right.
You can have a relationship with your family, but it might not be good.
Right.
You can have a relationship with your friends, but it might not be good.
Right.
So what do we need to do to cultivate an environment for good relationships? I think that's something that we'll have to look at. Now, I do want to look at this, and I'm if you want to find it, Bruce, that's fine.
Okay.
Jesus says this, and I think this is really, really important. you had, I believe it was at a, was it at a feast? I believe it was at a feast where Jesus' mother was outside and could not get in.
Yeah. Mother and brother.
And brother. And
siblings.
Jesus was told, hey, your mother and your brothers are outside.
Yeah.
And then Jesus turns to them and says, who is my mother?
My mother and my brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said, those that do the will of God.
Oh, my goodness. In 2024, he would get canceled.
Yeah.
There would be so many hurt feelings.
Yes.
There'd be so many people who are just, you know what I'm saying? How dare he? How dare Jesus? He's disrespectful. That's his mom and his, you know. But he's making a point.
Yes.
Who? This is how important this is to the Father. Because remember, it's not about Jesus. Mm-hmm. He says, I only say what
I hear my Father
say. I hear my Father say, only do what I see my Father do.
That's right.
So we can say that though Jesus said it, he's saying what the Father is thinking.
Yeah.
Saying what the Father is saying. So this is how important it is to the Father. This takes you beyond blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Takes you beyond natural blood.
Yeah.
And aligns you with his blood, per se.
Correct.
You become part of the true family of God.
Correct.
Yeah, man. It's good stuff.
So this is what I love about this. Do I consider myself controversial? It depends on how you view, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't consider myself to be controversial. I try my best to give truth.
Yeah.
My best. Do I always get it right? No. Right, but I try my best.
Mm-hmm.
I take that scripture in light of some of our believers,
okay,
who belong to social groups,
right?
And inside of these social groups, they call the other members of these social groups,
yeah,
brother,
yeah,
or sister,
right?
But they don't do the will of God,
right?
And have no interest in doing the will of God,
right?
And then I'd have to ask the question. Managing that type of relationship,
mm-hmm.
How can that be your brother or your sister if you're doing the will of God and they're not?
Right.
Right?
Right, right. Right.
According to, not what I say, but according to what Jesus said.
Right.
Who is my mother and my brothers?
Right.
Those that do the will of my Father.
Yes.
And so that would put us in that position. We're related. That's the beauty of this whole kingdom. It's the only kingdom where everybody's related.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I absolutely love about it. And if we're related, how are we related? Because we do the will of our Father. So inside of these social organizations, and you already know which ones I'm talking about. There's mm-hmm. tons of them.
Uh-huh.
But there are some people inside that organization that they want nothing to do with God.
Right.
How then can that be your brother?
Yeah. Right. No, it's a great point.
And I think you have to start looking at that kind of stuff because if I'm kingdom over culture.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think we all should be kingdom over culture.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
And because of that, then we have to be seekers of truth.
Yeah.
Which means if you're going to be a seeker of the truth when you find it, you have to walk away from the lie.
Right.
How do I manage that relationship then at that point?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a great question. It's a great question. I think the answer is, how much does my relationship with him?
Mm.
I think that's the answer. It's a very individual answer because it's a very personal answer. I have to then ask myself, how much is my relationship with him? Is my relationship with him more important than this or that or them?
Yeah.
You know, because one of the things, Troy, that I think is important in relationship with God is not forgetting that he's still a jealous God mm-hmm. who will have no gods in front of him.
Correct.
Before him.
Correct.
Right? He wants all of our love, all of our attention, all of our focus.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else we tend to call distractions because right. that's what they are. What are you being distracted from? Giving him all of your love, all of your attention, all of your focus, all of your time, all of your energy, and then letting what is come out of that posture.
Yeah.
That's how we ended up knowing the difference between true brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ, mm-hmm. and what I call co-churchgoers, like co-workers.
Oh, yeah.
That's how we came. Took us a long time mm-hmm. because we were in it. Couldn't see it because we were in it.
Yeah.
Took us a long time, but we finally came to the place where we understood, okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute. To really, like you just said, to really be Troy's brother, this is why we get along, because we're both interested in doing the will of God the best that we can. And so right. what has happened from the time that you and I have known each other, what has happened? Our circle has expanded a little bit, but has become very eclectic, I would say.
I would agree.
Because we have him at the center and doing his will at the center. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, I get introduced to this person through Troy. Troy gets introduced to our people through me and, you know, and all these different people. And we all have this one thing in common. We don't all look alike. We
right.
don't all sound alike.
Right.
We don't all have the same talents.
Right.
Right. But the one thing that we do have is the most important thing, and that is keeping him
absolutely
focused, keeping him centered.
Absolutely.
And obviously it means everything to God.
I believe you're right. I think inside of this whole challenge of managing relationships, again, you have those different levels, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think mitigating a lot of risk factors can be a challenge. And what I mean by that, I know people are like, hey, what is he talking about? This is what I'm talking about. I think that you can mitigate risk when it comes to relationship, because every relationship comes with risk.
Oh, sure.
Right. But I think you can mitigate some risk by not getting into relationship with people that you know you shouldn't be.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that does help. So when we were talking about this, one of the images that I got was Samson.
Okay.
Samson, the judge.
Yeah.
Nazarite.
Yeah.
Right. And this dude had a wife.
Yep.
Went off to war. His father-in-law gave his wife to his best friend.
Right.
He comes back from war. He doesn't have his wife anymore. And then he's like, all right, whatever I do now is on y'all.
Yeah.
Y'all did this. I'm not responsible for anything I do right now. And Samson went on a tear.
Yeah.
But I think where I got the image, let me say it that way. Well, Samson got to a point that he saw a woman from a nation he was not supposed to be with.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And his father kind of gives you a glimpse. He's kind of like, why are you always looking at these women?
Yeah, right.
You know?
Right, 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 right.
Is there not a woman from your own brethren?
Yeah, or right.
From my brethren that you could pick? Why are you always chasing after him?
Yeah.
And he's like, look, just go get her for me.
Yeah.
She pleases me.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Now, Samson, this Nazarite, right?
Yeah.
Can't cut his hair and can't cut his beard and can't touch anything dead, and he does all the stuff he ain't supposed to do, right?
Right.
Not supposed to eat or drink from the fruit of the vine.
Right.
But he's in this vineyard.
But he's in the vineyard. He's close to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and I'm like, why?
Because he has a straddle the fence mentality.
Exactly. I want to see how far I can go before it's sin.
Right.
That's what a lot of people do, right?
Absolutely.
So he's sitting there in the vineyard, and while he's in that position to see how far he can go, he sees this woman.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And his father gets him this woman, and everything went south for him.
Yeah, right.
Right? Because he ended up getting involved with somebody he had no business being involved with.
Yeah.
He had no business being involved with him because it was an ordinance. It was something that God had already laid out. The people remembered that.
Yes.
We don't necessarily have to remember it because we have the word.
Yes,
right. But I've seen this, and I'm sure you've seen this, Bruce, not just in marriages, because that's the easy one to spot, right?
Yeah.
But just even in general friendships where you're not even supposed to be hanging out with this person.
No, absolutely, man. Absolutely. That's such a great point, man. You know, I wrote something down earlier about, and I think it fits here, sometimes when, and I'm using my quote fingers for those because you can't see us, I got my quote fingers up. Sometimes when you're, when you think you're in a relationship, mm-hmm. but the relationship falls apart and you end up going your separate ways, I wrote down in my notes earlier today, it may be helpful to ask yourself this question. Was I ever actually in a real relationship?
It's a good question.
With that individual?
That's a good question.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that helps. I think that helps even when you're still engaged with that individual. You're engaging with them to really understand. Because, I mean, we can go so many different ways here, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because there's the manipulation relationship.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? Where someone says, well, if you let me, I mean, they don't say it out loud, but they say, if you let me manipulate you, then we'll be friends.
Yes.
If we, or
that happens a lot, though.
It does happen a lot. Yeah. It really does. Or I should say it the other way. We're not friends unless I can manipulate you.
Yeah.
You know? So you got all these different dynamics of, once again, I got my quote fingers up, y'all, for those of you who can't see, we got all these different quote-unquote relationship dynamics without ever asking the question, am I, or afterward, was I actually ever even in a real relationship with this person in the first place?
Yeah, the manipulation part happens so often.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's very subtle. I think, because you mentioned that and it got the gears turning, right? Was I ever in relationship in the first place? I'm going to tell you one of those places where that shows up a lot. If you leave a church.
Oh, come on, man.
If you leave a church.
Yeah.
And the same people you used to hang out with, months, years can go by. Not even an email.
Yeah. You cease to exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't even ask myself the question at that point. I know the relationship wasn't real.
Yeah.
But it almost comes off like cult-like.
It does. It really does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really does. You know, and I have my own personal stories in that regard. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, I've had leaders say to their people not to even interact with us, as if we left Jesus, as if we were no longer a part of the body.
Yeah.
In actuality, all we did, we were trying our best to follow Jesus to the next assignment.
Yeah.
But it was handled as if we left Jesus and left the body of Christ and were no longer even saved. That's how it was handled.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a sad thing, but I can tell you what it did for me. I said, okay.
You opened your eyes.
Yeah. I said, okay. There were people that I really thought that we were in a real good, solid relationship with, only to find out that we were co-churchgoers. That's where I got that term from.
Yeah.
Some couple few decades ago, you know. Oh man, we were just church going together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
That's tough.
It is tough, man, because it's so far away from what the Father, if we go back to what Jesus said about his mother and his brethren.
Yeah.
Who are my mother and my brethren? Those that are aligned with me doing the will of the Father.
Yes.
Here we are going to church together. How you would absolutely assume that everybody that's getting up on Sunday morning, getting dressed and coming out to this building, you know, have one thing in mind, only to find out that that's very seldom true. It's
very seldom true.
You know, so, you know, it's sad, but I think sometimes I believe this, Troy. I believe sometimes God allows it because I will say this again on a very personal note. There were places that I really, my wife and I, my family really loved. And when he was ready to move us on, we weren't ready to go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so this is just very personal. You know, it's I can think of a circumstance where I'm like, God, did you do this? Did you let that relationship fall completely apart?
Yeah.
In order to move me on? And the answer was, no, I didn't let it fall completely apart. I let you see what it was and from what it wasn't. That's what I did. I let you see what it was from what it wasn't. And once you saw what it actually wasn't, then you made the decision finally to obey me. And so now you want to blame me and say that I ruined. No, I'm not into ruining relationships.
Yeah.
I would that everyone would be in a solid, good relationship with me and then with each other. But what I did was I showed you what I already knew.
Yeah. That's so funny. When I'm looking at these relationships, like for that example, right?
Yeah.
You have what God's telling you to do. Then you have this group of people, right? That you feel like you're close to.
Yes.
And I want to help somebody, right? Because the tug of war in that situation is really not between God and the people.
Yeah.
The tug of war is between God and you.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Exactly right.
And sometimes you're like, well, I had to make the decision that God was worth more than these people. No, what you had to do is make the decision that God was, his will was greater than yours.
Yes.
That's what you had to do.
That's really good.
You had to make that decision because the people didn't even know they were in a fight and the struggle.
That's a really good distinction, Troy.
The struggle is you within you.
Yes.
And so now it's you have to be like Jesus. Nevertheless, not my will.
Not my will.
But yours be done.
Yours be done.
That's where the struggle is. So for people out there that are kind of hanging out in that area.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Well, I love these people, but I love God. I love God, but I love these people.
Yeah.
The struggle's not with the people and God. The struggle is between you and God.
That's so
and
good.
And you're going to have to lay your will down if you're going to profess to be a true follower of God.
That's exact. I was getting ready to say, something's got to die.
Something's got to die.
Something's got to die. Yeah, and it's your will.
Yeah, man.
It's your will that has to die.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever been in a relationship with somebody you really like them? Not a relationship, but you've known people that you really, really liked. But you knew you couldn't hang, to your point earlier.
Yeah.
You just knew that it would be detrimental for you to hang out with them more than a couple minutes at a time. More than a couple minutes at a time, man. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, all hell was going to break loose. And you knew it.
Yeah.
Because you had experience with that individual that they can't take. They can't take more than 30 minutes, you know, and it's like, okay, we love you. Got to go. Bye-bye. And that's fine, though.
Yeah.
You know, if that's what it takes to, you know, I mean, okay, now I'm thinking family members.
Okay.
If that's what it takes, no, it's not God's greatest, but it's better than falling out and you guys never speaking to each other. And it does lend to the whole idea of management.
Yeah.
You have people in your life, man, that don't understand what it means. Once again, I'm doing this not to harm you, not to hurt you, not even making it about me being annoyed with you right now, which right. I actually am, but I'm doing this because I want to maintain whatever level, though it may be shallow.
Yeah.
I want to maintain that. So sometimes I don't say the thing that I could say. I could pull the sledgehammer out and get to swinging.
Go to work, yeah.
You know, and would be righteous in my own mind. You know, would be righteous in my own mind, but would it please God?
That's the thing.
Would it please the Father?
Yeah.
Or will he do me like he did Jesus? He never uttered a word. He acted as a lamb being taken to the slaughter.
Yeah.
And never uttered a word. That's dying, man.
It is.
That's dying for the sake of a relationship that maybe possibly God would use you and your example and your management skills to finally bring that person to a place of maturity.
Yeah.
But you had to put your sword up. You had to put your sword back in the sheath. You had to put your hammer back in the hook on your side, right? You know, and say, okay, you know what? I'll see you later. We'll talk again, you know, in a few weeks or whatever, right? I think it's important, man. I think all of those dynamics, and these are practical things for those that are listening.
Yeah.
Really, really practical things, because, you know, man, everything is about relationship. At the end of the day, everything is about relationship.
And that's, you hear that for any of you guys that follow the fig tree for a while, relationship comes up over and over and over again.
How can it not?
Yeah.
Everything we're talking about is relationship with God. It's something that I've said many times, Troy, something I felt like the Lord told me years ago. He said, so many people put a lot of time and effort and energy into trying to be in a good relationship with people. Mm-hmm. That's not wrong. That's not bad. He said, but you'll have more success if you take that time and effort and energy and put that into your relationship with me.
Yes.
And let everybody else, literally everybody else that you ever come in contact with on the planet, be the beneficiary of your good relationship with me. The Lord told me that many years ago. And so it's not that you don't work at relationships. That's important. Roll your sleeves up. If it's a relationship worth being in,
correct,
you got to work at it. But how much more so allowing them to get the benefit of the time and effort and energy that you put into having a great relationship with your Father God?
Well, you become a fountain.
You become
and a people can fountain. Come and drink from, you know, so dude, you become a fountain and people can come be refreshed at that fountain. So
I heard someone recently say, you should be more of a fountain than you are a drain.
Yeah. This, you know what? That's going to be a good segue. So we're being real practical here, right?
Yeah.
And we want to help people. I think this is a quality topic that some people throughout time will either have found themselves in, didn't recognize what it was, and maybe when you're hearing this, you're like, oh, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Or that you may find yourself in. And for some, you're listening to this like, I've never had any problems with relationships. To that I say, just keep living.
Just keep living.
You keep living.
You obviously hadn't lived long enough.
If you keep living, you know, there's going to be some challenges, because sure, that's just the way life is. So I've found some information or some qualities, I should say, that I thought were probably worth highlighting when you know that relationships are not optimal.
Yeah.
Or if you're, these are qualities that you can look forward to know that if you're in a bad relationship.
Yeah.
Right. So in case, I'm going to give you the first three.
Okay.
And for you folks who have not listened, if you're new listeners, go back. There's a podcast that's called Drop the Mic.
Yeah.
So those are the first three, manipulation, intimidation, and control.
That's what mic means, drop the mic. Manipulation, intimidation, and control, M-I-C.
So I think those are three characteristics from the beginning.
Yeah.
That we should look at. And if those exist within that relationship,
yeah,
then that relationship has the potential to be a very poor relationship. So
yeah.
What do you think about it?
No, I think that's great, man. To add to that, this is very practical. If you're around someone and when you leave from being around them, you feel worse instead of better.
Yeah.
That may be something to look at.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. You feel that you feel good. Maybe you're feeling down. You get around this particular individual and you feel better.
Yeah.
That may be something to look at.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? That may be something to just take a note of and pay attention to. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
But the idea of that manipulation, intimidation, and control, I mean, that is, in my opinion, that is the formula that the enemy set forth as far back as the garden.
Yes. If. That's what manipulation starts with.
That's exactly what it starts with.
If. If you're going to be my friend, then you need to.
Yeah, right. Right.
If we're going to remain friends, then you need, you know, it comes with threats. It comes with that kind of stuff.
And it's interesting because as subtle as it can be, Troy, it still challenges the standard of truth.
Sure.
It still challenges at its core. It's challenging what has been established. I said the standard, but I really meant to say an established truth.
Mm-hmm.
You and I know that this is the way a certain thing is supposed to be. And here comes someone and they say, hath God said?
Yeah.
Is that the way it needs to be? That's what's happening right now in the world.
Of course.
There are people who are trying to, they're saying, well, why does 2 + 2 = 4?
Yeah, I've seen stuff like that.
you know what I'm saying? Why does 3 + 3 = 6? Who said that that's what it is?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have a better answer for it. You're just asking crazy questions. That's my opinion. Crazy questions, but you're not offering an answer for it. You're doing the hath God said thing just for the sake of doing it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And I think that plays into a lot of relationships, man. When you have people who are willing to challenge, they're always challenging what they know to be an established truth with you.
Yeah.
To get you to go softer on that established truth.
Yes.
So that they can position you how they want to position you to take advantage or to do whatever the thing is that they're trying to do.
Agreed. And I'm going to tell you one place that I see this works the most, unfortunately. I'm just going to sting a little bit. Can I tell you two places?
Sure.
Family, especially from top down.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So not necessarily with your siblings. Don't get me wrong. It can't happen with your siblings.
It can.
But if it comes from like a mother or a father or a grandmother.
You get us in trouble, man.
I know, man. I know. But this is one of the places where it can, with statements like this, with all I've done for you, this is how you.
Oh, right? My God.
Love doesn't talk that way. Love keeps no record, right?
Mm.
Love's not puffed up. Love,
yeah.
So love doesn't talk that way.
Yeah.
For all I've done for you, this is what you're going to.
Yeah.
You know, and that tends to happen, you know. Yeah. And I'm not saying that people mean to be malicious by doing that.
No, but
I think sometimes they just don't know. But if that's a continual behavior,
yeah,
and a continuous speech pattern that family members are giving you on a consistent basis, you might need to pause and re-strategize how to handle that relationship.
Yeah, absolutely,
right?
Man.
So that's one place that stings, right?
Yeah.
Tell you the other place.
The other one? Oh, Lord.
Right there in the church, man.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Church leadership a lot of times, you know, and sometimes church leadership will impose their position on you. To bend your will.
Yes.
And that is manipulation all day.
Seen it many times.
If you, oh man, yeah, it's going to get bad. It's going to be bad. If we'll take away your ordination, right? Or we'll sit you down.
Oh.
If you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. If it's outright sin and you not repentant of that sin, I get that.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
But just to get you to do something they want you to do,
something
else with the church leader, you have a gift and they want to prostitute your gift. And
it happens, man.
Right? So
it happens more often. I mean, it shouldn't happen at all.
It shouldn't happen at all.
But it happens a lot.
Yeah. So
it does. It happens a lot.
Those are two places. I know it gets a little uncomfortable.
It happens
talking about
a lot.
That, but it does.
And thank God for every leader out there, every church leader that knows better.
Yes.
And has chosen that they'll never operate that way. I know that they're out there too. And so
absolutely.
Just want to give credit to where credit is due. Thank God for every leader that that respects their calling.
Yes.
And respects and stays in a place of humility, because that's what it takes.
Yes, it does.
When everybody is looking at you and everybody is kind of putting you up on a pedestal, you have to choose to stay humble. You have to choose to stay low. You have to choose to remember that you signed on with Jesus to be a servant.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, you really signed on to be a servant. So you're standing and proclaiming and you're building and you're even you're collecting money to do the will of God, hopefully to do his will. You're doing it from the position of a servant.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jesus said. You can't get no better than that.
No.
Jesus said, if any of you are going to be great, you got to be the greatest servant. You got to be the servant of all.
Yeah.
He said all.
Yeah. Not be served by all, but.
Now, here's the problem with that, Troy. That looks like losing in 2024.
Yeah, it looks like losing. It looks like being soft. It looks like being a doormat. Right. It looks like all that stuff. Yeah,
that's exactly right. That's right. What it looks like. That's what it looks like.
But it looks that way when you look from the bottom up.
That's exactly
but
right.
But not when you look from the top down.
Not when you look from the top down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's yeah, good. So I had to get rid of those, you know. But where I told you it was a good segue, and this may help somebody too, those people that consistently drain you.
The drains.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, the drains.
Those are the, I hate to use the term leech, the parasite.
Parasite.
They're more parasitical than anything.
Yep.
I need you to pray for me.
Yeah.
I need you to counsel me.
Yeah.
And the thing I'm praying for you for and counseling you for is the same thing I prayed last time.
Yeah.
And the time before. And yeah. the time before. And the time before.
And you've made no decisions.
You've made
to no do anything to do different. Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have these folks, they'll call you, they'll show up, they want to, you know, you're at the church service and they want to pull you to the side. Yep. I need to talk to you and all. Be careful of those relationships.
Yep.
Because especially you mentioned it, when you walk away feeling tired.
Feeling drained, yeah. Maybe even angry.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you got to be
taking
cautious.
Something with you. You get in the car to go home and you know, and you're now you're yelling at traffic. you just came out of church. Yeah. Why are you yelling at traffic? Because someone pulled you over and they drained you.
Yeah.
What were you drained of? Your joy?
Yeah.
Your
man.
Peace?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It happens, man. It happens a lot. It's unfortunate, but it happens a lot. But these are practical things that hopefully our listeners can look for.
Yes.
Can know to look for. It's not all bad.
No. And
it's not.
I'm going to give you one, Bruce. And I thought this was funny because I had someone in my life that was like this. Mm-hmm. Okay. Possessiveness.
Okay.
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 Which is another dangerous characteristic. And this is what I mean by it. Me and this individual, we were pretty close, right? At least I thought.
Yeah.
We used to hang out quite a bit. And it seemed like the times where he wanted to hang out the most is when somebody else wanted to hang out with me.
Oh,
you
wow.
see what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was like the weirdest thing. And I didn't pick up at it. I didn't pick up on it at first.
Wow.
But if nobody else was, you know, I wasn't planning to do something with somebody yeah, else.
Right.
Hardly ever here. But
right. No, you're my friend.
Exactly.
emphasis on my. You're my friend. Not going hanging out with them.
You can't be friends with anybody else.
No, you can't be friends with anybody else.
And so if I had something planned, dude, I'm telling you, it's the weirdest thing.
That's
and
wild.
I didn't pick up on it until, you know, it took me a little while. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer all the time. You know what I mean? It took me a little while. And then when I picked up on it, I just kind of like, I want to see how this actually works or if it actually works.
Yeah.
And it did.
Wow.
You know, every time I planned something with somebody else, especially if he knew about it.
Yeah.
He's like, oh man, why don't we just go do,
wow.
Know, or why don't we go hang out here? Or,
yeah.
You know, why don't, and I'm like, this is the weirdest thing. And so managing that was, honestly, it wasn't that difficult for me.
Yeah.
At that point, because right. I see what's happening here.
Yes.
And it's beneficial for me, right?
Yeah.
To cut that relationship, but it was also detrimental for him.
Sure.
So that he can't see that his possessiveness can rule in
right.
his own life.
You that's
don't
right.
you don't have control over this like you believe that you do.
That's right. That's right. No, that's good stuff, man. There's a point that I like bringing up when we talk about relationships, because I've said this to many people over the years talking about the same subject. I always think about when I was in high school 150 years ago, you know, a long time ago. I remember I learned about some instrument players that were in the orchestra, mm-hmm. specifically on the band, but primarily in the orchestra. And so, you know, I used to play violin a very, very, very long time ago. And that's when I learned about first chair, second chair, third chair violin.
Yeah.
First chair, second chair, third chair, you know, flutes and all of those things. And the Lord began to help me to understand some things about there's very few people you will have to dismiss from your life.
Mm-hmm.
All you do, if you get, if you get good at managing relationships, then you'll begin to learn who is in first chair.
Right.
Who to put in first chair.
Yeah.
If someone's in first chair for a while, but they no longer need to be in first chair, then you move them to second chair.
Yeah.
You move them to third chair.
Yeah.
If you don't understand what I'm talking about, listeners, I'm talking about an orchestra, how an orchestra is set up. And you can go and look it up and you'll see. Type in orchestra and put in first chair, second chair, you know, and you'll get an idea of what I'm saying. And so I've lived by that for many, many, many years. And in doing that, there's very few people that I've had to actually just walk away from.
Yeah.
Most of them will fade into the background once they realize that I'm not going to be moved off of my purpose.
Mm.
My purpose is to serve him.
Yeah.
That's first and foremost. And it's just been really interesting because my experience today, I can say that I can probably count on one hand how many people over almost 40 years that I've had to literally just walk away from and say, yeah, I can't be in a relationship with you. There have been some.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that if you just set your heart, sort of like Jesus said, it said about Jesus, he didn't say it, but it says that he set his face as a flint.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to the cross. He's going to do what the Father, and yeah, Nobody's going to get in the way, not even Peter, his good buddy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Move, Satan. Yeah. He's looking at Peter, but he says, get behind me, Satan. And so having that mentality, what I found is that people will go so far with you and then they'll fade off into the distance.
Yeah.
I thought that was very interesting. You know what I'm saying? But yes, there have been people that I have had to just say, you know what? I'm out.
But very few. Yeah.
The other analogy that the Lord gave me is like a highway. You know, you have on ramps and off ramps.
Yeah.
And so you're going down the highway with people and they're happy. Oh, this is great. We're traveling together in the Lord, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Until you finally hit something. And they say, yeah, I can't go any further. This is too tough. You're too serious. Yeah. I've had that before. You're too serious about the things of God. I can't go any further. And so they kind of tolerate you until they get to the next off ramp. They get to exit 25, right? And then they just get off and you keep on going.
Keep on going, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's important too in the mentality concerning how to manage relationships. There are some that you need to know, I really have to just walk away from this in order for me to stay. That's what we started with, right? Jesus didn't commit himself to men.
He knew what was in their heart.
Because he knew what was in their hearts. Why did he do that? Because he knew that distraction could be enough to get him to completely miss the very reason that he was brought to the earth.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? So when we look at it, we're really protecting purpose.
You absolutely are. A couple other things I was looking at here is when you have those folks in your life where everything is about them,
mm-hmm,
right? Good, yep, bad, or indifferent.
Yep.
Everything is about them, and they constantly deflect any blame.
Yep.
Right?
I don't know anybody like that. Not one.
Everything is about them. Your problems don't matter because they have problems. Your triumphs don't matter because they have triumphs. And if something does go wrong in the relationship, it is always your fault. It is always your fault.
Yeah.
If things don't go as planned, this is your fault. And I want to be as transparent as possible about this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think this is where people find themselves a lot. And I know this is a cliche, but it's true. Hurt people hurt people.
Yep.
Right?
There's truth to it.
So this deflecting responsibility and everything being about a person could very easily come from a place of hurt.
Yes.
And you have to be able to recognize that too. If now the person could be a straight up narcissist. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
That could be the case. Yeah. You know, it could be the case. However, sometimes it may not be the case. It may be that the person is hurt.
Yes.
Maybe every relationship with with women that they've had.
Right.
So you have a woman who has a relationship, you know, friendship with other women.
Yeah.
But every time she's been in a good, close friendship with another woman, it's fallen apart.
Right.
And instead of looking at the common denominator, which would be that woman herself,
right,
she puts the blame on everybody else around her, all the people that had the falling out with her.
Yes.
And the same thing can go with men. Don't get me wrong. I'm not just picking on women. But if you're the common denominator, then you have to look at yourself first.
Yeah.
Now, I know in saying that, somebody might be listening to this and like, I am the common denominator, but there's nothing wrong with me. Then you're the one I'm talking to.
Yes, that's happened to me, but I'm okay.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong. There's literally nothing wrong with me.
The overuse of literally. Yeah, there's literally nothing wrong with me.
You might be the person we're talking to at this point. And again, like I said, it could come from a place of hurt, but examine that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Examine your past relationships.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I think it's good to examine your past relationships so you can prepare for your future one.
Yeah, sure.
If you are in a relationship with somebody like that and they're constantly putting the blame on you for everything.
Yeah.
Then ask God, is this person hurt? I mean, are they a straight up narcissist or is this person really hurt?
Sure.
And if that person is really hurt, then you know how to pray for them at that point. Now, that doesn't mean you got to hang out with them every day.
That's right.
You can still sever that tie and pray for them. When you sever that tie, they're probably going to talk bad about you, but there's nothing you can do about that.
Nothing you can do about that, man.
Nothing you can do.
That's exactly
and,
right.
And if truth be told, they're probably talking bad about you anyway.
Probably. Well, it's only a matter of time.
It's only a matter of time, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's worth looking at that. When you run into those people who constantly push the blame on you, well, you're the reason this didn't work out, and you're the reason this, and you're the reason that, and everything is always about them. Yeah, you might want to consider if this person is just acting this way out of past trauma.
Yeah, right. Now this might sting a little. This is gonna, Have you ever, okay, so what about people in relationships? Now, I'm gonna be more specific and say romantic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully husband and wife.
Okay.
But a romantic relationship where both individuals have experienced that kind of trauma.
Man.
And they and you know as well as I do that it's a very weird, very strange thing when certain people dealing with certain things seem to gravitate towards other people dealing with the same thing. It's a very spiritual kind of thing, it seems to me. I've seen people who have a certain, I'm not gonna use any descriptions, but I've seen people who are used to a certain type of city.
Okay.
Or a certain type of the side of a particular city. Maybe a seamy side of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Not a great side.
Yeah.
Come from 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 states away and come to a city they've never been to and manage to go right to the same type of area in that brand new city that they've never been to before. Mm-hmm. It's a very real dynamic.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very spiritual. But I've seen that happen with, I got my quote fingers up again, with romantic relationships.
Yes.
Where both people find each other. And they're both hurt. They both have hurts. They both have traumas. And they feed off of each other thinking it's romantic.
Yeah. When it's not really romantic
at all. It's mm-hmm. not a healthy relationship because neither one of you are healthy. And you'll go years with no one realizing, wow, we both need to get healthy so that we can actually see, is this what we thought it was from the beginning, or did we really, did we do something totally, you know what I'm saying? I've seen that dynamic, Troy.
Oh yeah.
And I'm looking at it like, wow, both of you came into this in a very unhealthy, at a very unhealthy time in your life. And you're literally feeding off of each other's trauma, past trauma, I should say. That's an interesting dynamic, man.
Yeah, man. Well, things of the natural explain things of the spirit. So absolutely. You're saying this is a spiritual issue, which you are absolutely right.
Yeah.
Give you Bible for it. Genesis 1, verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed.
There it is.
And the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind.
According to its kind.
Whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, right?
Yeah.
The principle that everything produces after its own kind according to the seed that's in it.
According to the seed that's in it.
It's a natural principle, but it's also a spiritual reality.
Yes.
What do I mean by that? You can't plant an orange seed and expect to get grapes back.
Right.
Because that's not the seed that's in the orange.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
So whatever you plant, that's what you also will yield.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So it also happens with people, right? Abram was given a prophecy through your seed.
Yes.
Shall all nations be blessed.
Right.
There's a problem with that, though, because man was already cursed.
Yeah.
And everything produces after its own kind according to the seed that's in it.
Right.
So now it's impossible for a cursed man to produce a blessed baby.
That's right.
So God had to give the woman a seed. That seed had to change, right? He had to give her a seed.
Right.
So that she could produce a blessed baby that could bless the entire world.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Reproduction.
Absolutely. This is a spiritual reality because spirits do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And spirits do multiply, not in the same sense that we see, but it's more of an attraction and multiplication.
Right. Sure.
This is why, and if you are a pastor or a church leader, I need you to listen to this, okay? This is very important. If there is a liar in the church, he will find the other liar.
It's real, man.
Right?
It's real.
And they will produce more liars.
It's real.
Right? If there's perversion in your church, they'll find the other perverted person in your church because of that attraction.
Yeah.
And they'll produce more perverted
It's very people. Real.
Now, it's not just sexual perversion. I'm talking about even perversion of thought.
Yeah, sure.
So it's a very, very real thing. So what you're explaining, the spiritual part of it playing out naturally, is a very real thing.
Yes.
Because of the principle God laid out in Genesis.
That's awesome, man. It's real.
Yeah.
It's real. And those people need prayer. They really do. Those relationships, especially if they get married.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what I'm saying? Especially if they go as far as to get married and they have children.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, they really need prayer. You know, they really need, because they need freedom prayers, which we might call freedom prayers. That, you know, they need, there's some freedom that needs to happen there. And maybe there'll be an opportunity. Maybe there'll be a chance, you know. But it's very real. And I just wanted to throw that in there because we had not really touched that particular dynamic.
It's a good thing to throw in
of
there.
Relationships. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I like this good stuff, man.
Yeah. No, this is great.
Relationship management. It's really important to manage these relationships. It's very important to assess the relationship, your current relationships. In fact, I'm going to go this far. And maybe you'll disagree. Maybe the people will disagree. You should have a very few friends.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A lot of people that you know, a lot of people that can be around you, even your brother. I'm talking about like your core friends.
Yes.
Probably should be very few of those.
Yeah.
Everybody can't be close to you because then no one's close to you.
Yeah.
Right? So everybody can't be close to you. And you just don't
say that again for the people in the back, man.
Yeah, everybody can't be close to you because then nobody's close to you.
Because then nobody's close to you.
Yeah. We're all at the same distance. So isn't that simple, right?
It's very simple. My mom used to tell me a lot. I mean, when I was a young boy, she'd say to me, you know, you really only get one or two really good friends in life. Make sure you pay attention.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But she set that mindset in me, you know, as a young boy. Everybody's not your friend.
No.
You know.
And that's exactly what
And you did a
about.
Good job at the beginning of kind of laying that out. Close, associates.
Yes. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
Real friends, associates, people that you consider family.
Yeah.
That may not even be biological family or blood family, but they're so close that they now are family.
That's it,
you know what I'm saying? But I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. I don't think that I would say it like this, Troy. You're probably headed for trouble if you're trying to have that level of relationship with everybody.
I agree. You're not probably heading for trouble. It's impossible. You don't have that kind of time.
You don't have that kind of time or energy.
No.
Or wherewithal, I would say even. No. You may want to. You know, it may be a desire in your heart.
Yes.
But my God, there's over 8 billion people in the earth right now.
Everybody can't be close to you.
Everybody can't be close to you. And you got to be okay with that.
Yes, you do.
And I think that's the thing, Troy, being okay with the fact that, I mean, I know people who lament because this thing didn't work out with this individual. I'm not even talking romantic. I'm just talking about, you know, like we mentioned earlier about church, right?
Yeah.
You know, I thought this person was a really good friend and yet hurt a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Because I thought we were going to be friends for a long time, only to find out that, no, we're really, that's not where they were.
Yeah.
But I know people who lament for long periods of time, and I'm like, but there's over 8 billion people in the world. You know what I'm saying? And there's several of them who are in the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, a few. Just a few out of 8 billion people who are in the Lord. Why are you crying? Get yourself up and go forward.
That's all you need to do. That's all you need to do.
And hope that you see them again. You know, when Jesus comes, right? You know, maybe y'all get a job together, you know, in the ruling and the reigning. Maybe you'll see each other again. But why are you all jacked up about this not working out with this person?
And you have to understand, sometimes that relationship has to dissolve at the level that it is.
Yeah.
So that you can see God for who he is.
Yeah, man.
Right? Because you can't live off mama's faith forever.
Ooh, boy.
You know, you can't live off your best friend's faith forever. And sometimes what God has to do is he has to allow that relationship to dissolve.
Yeah.
So that you can see him clearly for yourself.
In the year Uzziah died.
Yeah.
I saw the Lord.
I saw him. Yeah.
In the year that the distraction died.
Yeah, I like it.
I was able to see him.
I like it.
As he really is.
Yeah.
That's how God gave me that scripture years ago. In the year Uzziah died.
Uzziah was his distraction.
Uzziah was his distraction. Exactly.
Yeah.
And once he was out of the way, I was able to see him.
Yeah.
For who he really was. And then what does it say? And he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He got the most glorious view of God that I'm sure changed his life from that point on.
But only after the
distraction was removed.
That's a good point.
Yeah, man.
That's a real good point.
Yeah.
It's okay if these relationships dissolve. We've been friends for 20 years. We've been friends for 45 years. That is a blink in comparison to eternity.
That's exactly right, man.
And if that person is born again and you're born again, you'll see them again.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But here, there's purpose for you here in the earth, and you can't even allow friends or family to get in the way of that purpose.
Who did Paul, remember Paul got into a bit of a tiff with Barnabas over John Mark, right?
Yep.
But later on, he says, send Mark.
Yeah.
He'll be useful to me now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
So there was a point where he's like, no, absolutely not. He didn't want to go with us before.
Yeah, man.
So I don't need him now.
Yeah.
But then later on, he says, hey, send John Mark. He'll be useful. And you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I think it's okay, man. You know, especially in the scope of doing the will of God. I want to say, before we close this out, I just want to encourage every church leader, because you know what I call a lot of pastors. I call them warehouse managers.
Correct.
That, you know, and I don't even mean that ugly. I just mean that grace that's on their life, if they're not careful, they'll think that their job is to just go and take a clipboard and count the widgets and make sure you hadn't lost any widgets. But the widgets are people who have gifts and talents that God's given them that are greater than your ministry. You're just supposed to help steward that and help grow that and help mature that. But you should have the expectation that at some point you're going to mature them to the point where they now go out and continue doing the will of the Father. Correct. And your job concerning them is done. So I just want to encourage church leaders, pastors in particular, but church leaders in general, that that number one, this is gonna be hard. I know, I'm gonna say it anyway.
Yeah.
Number one, they're not your people.
Well, according to Psalms 100, they are not.
They are not your people.
Mm-hmm.
And God told me this personally, and I had to tell a room full of pastors this one day. There were bishops in the room, and there were some high-ranking people in the room. And he said, tell them, thus saith the Lord. I went straight old school. I went King James on them. Thus saith the Lord. The people are not your people. I'll move them anytime I get ready.
Yeah.
I'll pull your ministry out of their hearts and put somebody else's in, and they'll have to go, and you'll be upset with them, and you'll be mad because you think that they're your people. They're not your people. They're my people.
That's right.
So I just want to encourage leaders, before we finish this, be okay with being okay.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Be okay with being okay. Be okay with recognizing that you're a part of it and you're an important part of it, but you're never the whole.
Yeah.
You can never act like you're the whole.
Yeah.
You can never use your position to manipulate. You can never think that, oh, if this person doesn't give, that the work won't be done, because now it's become your work.
Yeah.
And now you have to go and question your relationship with the one who called you.
Yeah. Listen, good stuff. We learned this some years ago. You're going to have three levels of relationship, and I think every person should aspire to have these three levels. And when I learned this, I have given credit the two times that I'm supposed to give credit. So if you're listening and you hear this, I did give you credit twice, and now it's mine. I'm required to give you credit at least twice, and I did. But you need three things. And I think you should try to filter your relationships through this, because it's a good model. Is it all inclusive? No. But is it pretty doggone close? Yes.
Yeah.
Three levels, three things that you need. Need a Paul. Somebody that can pour into you.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that can father you. Somebody that can mentor you. And somebody that's accountable to you, because accountability goes both ways.
Yeah.
Right? So you're accountable to Paul, but Paul's also accountable to you. You
right.
need that person that can pour into you. You need a Timothy. Paul was pouring into Timothy. You need somebody you can pour into.
Right.
So as Paul is pouring into you and you're able to absorb and digest that stuff, you need to pour that into somebody else.
Right.
Right?
Sure.
And then you need a Barnabas.
Right.
You need that person that's going to walk alongside of you.
Yeah.
They're going to call you out on your mess.
Right.
You're going to call them out on their mess.
Right.
But you do life with them.
Yeah.
Your peers.
Yeah.
You need to have that person in your life as well. And I think when you start to filter all your relationships and you say, okay, is this a Paul? Is this a Timothy? Or is this a Barnabas?
Right.
You'll be able to place people where they belong. And I think that helps you manage those relationships a little better.
Absolutely, man.
So I have had fun with this.
Oh, that's great.
I don't know if we have any listeners left. But if we do have listeners left, we do thank you for joining us. I'm Troy.
I'm Bruce.
Thank you so much for joining us here under the Fig Tree.